KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In on Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the Global Homestead Garage in Portland. The community rights movements help cities and towns to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their people and natural areas. At the Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In event, the leaders of Community Rights US will speak, as well as Mark Lakem. Again, that's Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In on Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the Global Homestead Garage, 416 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO provides free training in all aspects of operating a radio station. We're looking for folks who benefit from white privilege to attend the Beloved Community 101 training on Saturday, December 16th from noon to 3 p.m. This workshop focuses on understanding how KBOO culture and our programming culture affect the station. How do we keep the program charter alive? How do we keep each other accountable on the air and off the air? If you're interested, please RSVP by email to del@kboo.org for a seat and for the location of the training. Again, that's the Beloved Community 101 training on Saturday, December 16th from noon to 3 p.m., hosted by your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good evening. It's 6:01 and time for Bread and Roses. This is KBOO Portland. And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, open daily December 16th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade arts, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at 2 Southwest Ankeny in Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome. Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I'm your host, Della Ray, and our engineer this evening is Liam. Our collective brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m. And I'm not sure if you know that women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 39 years, making this the longest running feminist show in the country. So I also want you to know that this space is ours, and it is here to be shared. And this collective is open to new members. If you are a woman in body or spirit, we will help train and support you to be in front of the mic or behind the scenes. You can find us on Facebook at KBOO Bread Roses Radio. So, of course, we do have a guest this evening, mental health therapist Javelin Hardy, and she'll be joining us to talk to us a little bit more about anxiety, stress, and depression. But before we jump in, I want to give you a little bit more context about what I believe, why I'm hosting radio, and about why I advocate self-care. And it's so important because I believe that self-care is essential to everything 100% of the time. And as we discuss tonight, it brings together the notion that this is so important and it brings it all to the surface. And I believe in a specific element of self-care. It's one that focuses on how we think and how we feel about ourselves. I believe that our individual self-care belongs to each and every one of us, and it's no one else's to have or to take away. So with that, we welcome Javelin Hardy, mental health therapist and author of The Girl Inside of Me. And again, we're just going to go and talk more and go deep with about anxiety, stress, and depression, which can be sometimes stressful, even especially given this time of year. So welcome, Javelin Hardy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And let's just go ahead and jump right in. Tell us about you. Tell us about, give us a sense of you and your work.
Well, you know what? I take it from the Southern style, I should say, when it comes to health, not just what you eat, but how you take care of yourself, and including your mind, body, and your spirit. So all three are very important when it comes to healing. And that's what I call self-care. Self-care is about healing. You know, I can educate you, I can teach you different symptoms and give you a diagnosis, but if your eating habits don't change, or how you care for your body, what you put in your body, and not only that, moving your body. If you don't move that body, you know, you're not really taking care of the entire being.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your history. And, you know, you've written this beautiful book, The Girl Inside of Me.
Thank you.
And you're a therapist. Give us more about your background.
Well, I will say I am a survivor of childhood abuse. Unfortunately, I grew up in the 80s. And during that time, you know, crack cocaine was pivoted in the African-American community. And I'm fortunate it affected, you know, some of my family members, especially my mother. And I say I grew up in a time where writing for me was my escape. You know, I was seeing different things, I was around different things, and it affected me. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved to write. You know, as a little girl, I don't know if you ever got that first journal.
Yes.
You got a journal and it had a key with it.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my goodness, this is something that I can put my words, my secrets into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I use. So I started writing, I say around like 6 or 7 years old, you know, when everything was going on. And that was my mental escape. You know, I wrote what I saw, I wrote what I didn't like. I wrote what I wanted to be, you know, as a little girl when I grow up. And that's how that journey began with my healing. Mm-hmm. So I consider writing therapeutic as well. So getting into the history of just wanting to know what was wrong with my family actually made me pursue my master's degree in social work. And I got a chance to do my internship at an outpatient program, Ava Gorley Center, where I'm surprised a lot of African-American people in Portland doesn't even know exist. And that's a place where we should be going for our healing. So that put me into that avenue of just change. And I've always been into social justice and equality. But then I had a life of being a parole officer for 12 years. And I had noticed that a lot of the women kept coming back and forth into the criminal justice system. And it was a revolving door until one day I just asked them, you know, and you learn this in trauma-informed care. You learn how to ask people questions instead of go, girl, what's wrong with you?
Right.
To what has happened to you? You know, tell me your story. You know, tell me what is going on. What makes you act like this? You know, what the old folks say, what's wrong with you, girl? You know, and just looking at it in a different pair of eyes where I could see an assessment needed to be done in order to address what was causing them to have an addiction or what was causing them to be in prostitution. You know, I just looked at it differently.
So when did you write your book? Did you write that after your being a parole officer? Draw a picture for us about this.
So you have a collection. You have a collection from high school all the way up to now.
Mm-hmm.
So been writing for years, and I just went on ahead, and I've kept a collection of the poems, but I say about like a year or so ago, I was like, you know what? I want to tell my story, because I'm running into too many women, you know, who share the same stories. And, you know, as African Americans, it's hard for us to share certain things like that, especially when we grow up in households with your parents said, don't be telling nobody my business. You know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. But at the same time, you know, we dressed up and faking the funk, acting as if we are together, all together. I'm dressed up, but I'm tore up inside. So wrote the book last year, promoted it this spring, did a couple promotions, you know, May and June, and they went well. They were well received. And I think for me, the shock of every time I got a chance to actually do a series of readings were having men come up to me and share their story as to, I've never told anyone this, you know. So just creating a space, which we still need, to have a space of healing, to even be able to say your story to somebody.
Tell us, I'm always curious about, tell me that moment where you absolutely had the courage. And was there any defining moment where you said, you know, earlier you mentioned, you go, I just want to tell my story. Yeah. Was it just that simple?
No. Mm-mm. No. First of all, you have to be able to trust somebody, you know, with your story, you know. And I will say probably the first person that I've ever thought about trusting to tell someone what was going on with me was actually my pastor, Donald Frazier. And just sharing with him and with Rebecca Frazier, a couple of spiritual mentors that I also see as my parents, and they will always be pivotal in my life. But being comfortable, you know, being comfortable, knowing someone wasn't going to go tell it, you know, knowing that it wasn't going to be something to gossip about. But I know in my heart and in my spirit, they wanted me to heal from that as well. So when you find the right person to be able to share with, because, you know, I've went to therapists. I tried to go to Caucasian therapists and wasn't really a connection, you know, and there's more about praying about something. You know, you can pray about something, but depends on the type of church you go to, or depends on whatever your religion is. Some people think you can just be healed from it or to just go away. And yes and no, you know, but at the same time, our people need to be educated about medication, or either just educated in general. What is anxiety? What is depression? You know, and then other things that African Americans are facing predominantly lately is bipolar. You know, what does that look like? Psychosis, schizophrenia. And I know with us, we have fears. And if you think somebody's, you know, go old school possessed, or, you know, something's going on with you, their hands are crossed. They don't know what to do as well. And they seek help to find out what to do.
So I'm going to take you back to what you said when we first got started. And you said that, you know, women telling their stories. And I will never forget, years ago, a dear friend and a mentor, Lynn, said to me, she said, if women would just tell their stories, and it would be so helpful, because that way we can understand what other people are going through, and especially as women, to open up and tell our truths.
Right.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm going to go back to that statement of saying, like I said, when you find that certain one to trust, you know. But not only that, validate, don't judge you, not make you feel ashamed. And one strong thing I want to say, and I hope people hear this, any type of survivor of abuse, any type of abuse, whether it's mental, sexual, physical abuse, if anything a person needs is for you to believe them. And there's nothing like telling your truth, speaking your truth, and you feel as if no one is going to honor you or believe what you're saying. That's probably about one of the most getting abused again, mm-hmm. you know, when that person doesn't feel like they're being heard, validated, and just needing that sense of, we don't want you to feel sorry for us. It's more so of, see me,
yes,
hear me, yeah, understand me.
And that's really relevant with what's happening today. People ashamed and afraid mm-hmm. of saying what's really true, only to be shut down.
Yes.
What I want to do is go back to your book.
Okay.
And I'm sure I've said this a million times to you, but Javelin, literally this book is not short of incredible. Mm. It was such a great piece. And my takeaway from reading this book is that it just reminds you, it's not that you forget, but this piece, the little girl inside of me, for all who suffered sexual abuse or trauma as children, the way you've written your poems is so, I would just say, sincere, in that it reminds us of the innocence of mm. childhood.
Yeah.
And I don't care what walk of life you're from, I don't care what color you are, I don't care how you identify, all of us have in common things that we remember as children,
yeah.
whatever those experiences are, good, bad, or whatever, that were confusing to
yes,
us.
Yes, yes.
And your piece that you've written, this poetry, helps us to remember that.
Yeah.
And if I may, I want to just share this with our listening audience,
okay.
because they don't have this awesome piece
yeah.
of literature yeah. in their hand.
Yeah.
And this is a endorsement by Kimberly Robinson Green, and she's the author of Her Cry, Her Prayer. And she says about this book, she says, people are looking for real people with real situations that can heal others and restore hope. The little girl inside of Javelin Hardy has matured into a beautiful, powerful, capable woman, capable of healing others using her personal experience and training in her therapeutic profession. And what more of a blessing it will be as this collection of poems, The Girl Inside Me, goes further out into the world and touches the lives of so many more.
Yeah.
There's a particular poem in here that I think this would be great to share that right now. Are you up for that?
Okay.
And it's the poem on page 34. And so I'm hoping you'll read that and then share with us what you were thinking and how that all
came to play.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The secret. At age 33, I decided to tell my mother about all the childhood sexual abuse I had experienced. My mother wasn't ready. Her response was, "You make me feel as if I'm on the Ricky Lake or Oprah show." I didn't expect my mother to get it or be ready to take responsibility for not protecting me and raising me in a healthy environment. "I don't hate you, Mother. I forgave you a long time ago. I just needed to let you know so I could be on my journey to heal." Months later, you stood in the doorway of my home and said, "I'm so proud of you. And I wish I wouldn't have ran different men in and out of my house. I wish I had fulfilled all my dreams. You're a good mother, and I'm proud of you. I'm so sorry." So I think writing that, I had been giving my mom hints, you know, about what was going on with me. And I know, unfortunately, the average child, you know, of counseling people, you know, in the counseling role that I had, a lot of women have shared with me. My mother knew, you know, my mother knew. She just didn't know what to do. Because, unfortunately, my mother was going through her own stuff, you know, and mine's was, too. So it's kind of like, I'm trying to save you, but I'm sinking at the same time. So it got to a point where our relationship becomes severed, and you know, we stopped talking. And I came to a place. I just was praying. I was like, "Lord, you know what? I have to tell her. I have to tell her because I'm tired of keeping this in. I'm tired of holding this back. It's affecting me." And one day, I just told her.
Wow. And how? And I know this is a larger subject than just one question,
right.
And do not hear me minimizing
yeah.
anything you're saying.
Yeah.
But how has this played into, and I know you're to the point of healing and whatnot,
yeah.
but how did it play into your own anxiety, depression, and stress, or did it?
Well, it did, because as a young mother, you know, I had my oldest son at age 18, and I had my youngest son at age 23, and all I felt like I was doing was running, running, running. you know, just trying to raise them, trying to figure out who I am as a black woman, the fear of raising two young African-American males with one father involved and one wasn't. I always felt like I was on a hamster wheel. You know, I always felt as if I had to be strong and powerful with a cape on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anxiety, stressed out, and trying to make it.
Mm-hmm. And so then you were experiencing this, and then writing this book came later because you just finished this
yes.
book. Were you working on this all along, knowing you were going to release a book about your
no,
story?
No, I just always loved to write. Like I said, that was my therapist. My writing was my mental health therapist. I had to get the thoughts out of my mind. They would keep me up at night. It affected my sleep, you know, trying to budget, trying to work, trying to take care of these kids. It was just stress and anxiety and, unfortunately, periods of depression, you know. And I found out, and this was after my mother passed, of the amount of series of depression that she went through. And I always wonder, God, why she didn't come out of her room or what's going on with her?
Yeah, this is a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I just can't thank you enough for sharing
in
such a generous way.
Yeah.
You are listening to KBOO FM 90.7. We are Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Della Ray, with Javelin Hardy. We're talking about stress, anxiety, and depression. We're going to take a break, give us a chance to catch our breath, and please don't go away. We have so much more to share with you. We'll be back.
I am opening up in deep surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening up in deep surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening, I am opening, I am opening, I am opening. I am opening up in deep surrender to the numinous darkness of my shadow. I am opening up in deep surrender to the numinous darkness of my shadow. I am opening, I am opening, I am opening, I am opening. I am opening up in deep surrender to the powerful wholeness of myself. I am opening.
We're back. You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm your host, Della Ray, and I just played a piece called Opening Chant from the CD called Portland Romance, local talent by Kate Power and Steve Einhorn. And I just want to thank both Katie and Steve for leaving that music in our Bread and Roses box here at KBOO. And we're always looking for more local talent to play. So feel free to leave more CDs. So when we left for break, we were here talking with Javelin Hardy about anxiety, stress, and depression. We were just starting to touch on a really important piece in your journey where you, you're a mother, and you were just realizing you were running, and you're really starting to feel the stress and anxiety. So tell us a little bit more about that.
About me in general or people today?
Why don't we start with you in general,
okay,
and then go with people today.
Okay. So I had came to a place in my life where as to a couple of family and friends, they know this rule about me. So when my sons were younger, we will get multiple birthday invitations throughout the month. And I had to start explaining to people, you know, budget-wise, financial-wise, not only that, stress-wise, the first invitation is the party we're going to go to. Because I had to not only put my sons on a schedule, I had to get on a schedule to start taking care of myself. So I started looking earlier on, I say age around 25, especially 25 through age 30, where I just was tired. all the time, from running, and having different things to take the kids to. And I was in school full time. I was working full time, raising them, and just developed just a lot of stress and anxiety from just caring for the kids.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate, and I think it's timely now that we open up the call lines for okay. anyone that wants to call in. And we welcome you callers to join this conversation, 503-231-8187. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, Bread and Roses. Again, we welcome the callers, 231-8187. I want to go back to something that, you know, we don't talk about
correct.
Our mental health. We
right.
don't. Why is it that there's so much stigma around, and I'm just talking about generally, and you know, mm-hmm. with your practice and your experience, mm-hmm. why is that such a big no-no?
Well, first of all, you have to look at population-wise, being here in Portland, medical. Mm-hmm. First of all, do I have the insurance that will cover it? Will my insurance allow me the appropriate visits to take care of myself? You have to look at that. Secondly, if you're a person of color, you know, it's very rare here. Where can I go and sit down and have therapy with someone that looks like me, transportation-wise? But not only that, just the labels. You know, no one wants to really go in and have a label attached to their name. You know, or either the stigma about medications, you know, the history, you know, look at the history with, unfortunately, with African-Americans, because I'm African-American, I come from that standpoint of all the stuff that was done to us, you know, with various experiments. I won't go into detail at this time, but fears of the unknown, fears of side effects, but families, I would say families need more support on how to support one another.
Yeah. Okay. And so with your practice, what are you seeing that's, I know you've said a lot of things, mm-hmm. basically money, therapy, transportation,
yes.
fear of labels.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most prevalent of all of those? Would it be the money?
The stigma.
This is stigma.
Stigma of being labeled with a mental illness.
Okay. We have a caller. Let's invite Michelle to join the discussion. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
You're welcome. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, love. That's Hi. My queen. That's my girl. Hey.
I wanted to say I'm so proud of you. And, you know, I love your book, and I've also read some of your poems with some of my clients who've experienced some of the same issues that you have of being a victim and a survivor of sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you would be, is what would you recommend to our communities, especially communities of color, who have a lot of shame around this in terms of feeling safe with coming into therapy? You know, what would you to encourage them?
Well, I encourage them to just ask even the most embarrassing questions. But not only that, what to expect? You know, what's an assessment? What's confidentiality? Because, you know, we all have to do consentment in order to be able to treat. But ask, you know, what is this information going to be used for? Who can see my records? Because, you know, those are some concerns. We in the African-American community, we really want to know who's going to see my records. Will my job see something? Will this get out there? But not only that, my right to say what I do and don't want in there. But not only that, other ways that we can bring in to heal, too. Not just medication and education, okay. but as I was describing, telling Della earlier, you know, we don't dance like we used to. You know, our backgrounds, culture, herbs, healings, all different things, we need to start incorporating that, too, in our therapy sessions.
Mm-hmm. Those are great ideas. Yeah, I think I agree with that too, being able to kind of go back to some of the ways that our ancestors, you know, and, you know, just kind of embrace healing just from a different perspective and using the earth
yeah.
to heal us too.
Yes.
And, you know, versus always getting into the whole medical model.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate the feedback that you gave, and like I said, I'm always trying to encourage brothers and sisters that, you know, to reach out and to get help and not to be containers of their own, you know, secret.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that there are people out here who do want to support them and help them through that process, and you're writing this book is a wonderful thing, because you know, sometimes we can walk around feeling really isolated.
Yes.
Like we're the only ones that this has happened to.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once you tell your story, the power behind it, because it's spoken into the universe now, and it's out. So just the freedom of holding all that in, that's healing in itself.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank
Michelle,
you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Have a wonderful evening.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
You know what I want to do, Jacqueline? Mm-hmm. I want to get back to, because we're moved into to healing almost, and I want to get back to talking a little bit more about anxiety, stress, and depression.
Okay.
And what that means, what that can look like for different people.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a lot of people ask me questions for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use anyone's name,
mm-hmm.
but they've asked questions. They just really want to know what that looks like and how they can... some tools, but let's just start with what that can look like.
Okay. So the main one I would say these days that are affecting people are the life stressors. And I'm going to give an example of how, look how Portland has changed. You have economic changes, social changes, where people have been moved out of their neighborhoods. And now you are trying to afford to live in a place where it used to be affordable. So think about the life stressors. Those are key factors that affect your mental health. I don't see anybody in my neighborhood that looks like me or either I can relate to. That's another stressor. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, people are surprised when I was telling them the reasons why I moved from Killingsworth. I used to be in Northeast Portland. And when stuff started getting built over there, my anxiety just went through the roof. I will be driving, and just the changes, your environmental factors, those are key factors to your anxiety and stress. So those are also things that affect you cognitively, you know, being able to concentrate, mm-hmm. you know, your thought process, being able to stay focused while you're at work,
mm-hmm.
Loss of sleep, mm-hmm. affecting your appetite, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes those are the things you have to go in and actually see a therapist so you can learn coping skills and unfortunately sometimes get on a mild medication to take care of that.
So are you saying then lack of sleep and not necessarily being able to concentrate at work,
those are stressors.
Those are things we need to pay attention
to. Yes, anxiety. Yeah, racing heartbeat, just always feeling anxious,
mm-hmm.
you know, just feel overwhelmed about small stuff, not being able to keep up with anything. I'm always losing something, or either your concentration, or either you're just snappy and irritable, you know, with people too,
okay.
unfortunately.
We have another caller, and I want to go ahead and take that.
Okay.
It's Brother Charles. Thank you for joining the conversation. How are you this evening?
Hey, real good, real good. Hey, Brother, Sister Jay, I want to say I love you, sis. Thank you. Hey, my question is, how can we get more brothers into therapy? That's really a hard one to get into. Working with brothers about talking to somebody. So can you talk to about how black men have different type of barriers around getting to even talking to somebody? And I would say, you know, we take better care of our cars than our bodies. So I know our mind is part of our body. So we got to get out of that and start taking care of this mind. So I want you to take and see if ways we can talk about how to get black men into therapy. So thank you so much, sister.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, and thank you for calling in. Much love to you. So last month, I went to a black women's gathering, and I heard that they used to have that in Portland for years. And I was very emotional at that gathering. First of all, I haven't seen that many sisters together in such an empowering time. And that's the thing, we ourselves, you know, with men in the community, you all need to have your gatherings. You know, y'all get together to watch football. And you get together, you get together to watch the fight, and creating that time, creating that space, and just start developing it in the community. And not only that, getting the word out. Who comes? They come. But the thing is that's just making that move. How can y'all support each other and have those circles too?
That's true. Sure, we need our sacred space.
Yes, you do.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you for doing this for the community. Much love, much strength.
Thank you.
Cable.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Charles. So I want to keep pulling at this conversation in the more of a general way around. I feel like we were going somewhere with identifiers, possible identifiers with the stress. And you said something that caught my attention, you know, being snappy.
Oh, yes.
Tell me more about that. Tell us, the listeners.
Well, the thing about as far as when you go into, okay, how about I break down the stages of grief?
Yes.
You know, when people don't even realize, let's say, I'm the average person, and I think only people that grieve is who pass away, a death. That's incorrect. So you can go through the stages of grief with the example I gave you earlier about how gentrification has made such an impact in Northeast Portland. First of all, you're shocked. You're shocked that this has even happened. It's been allowed to happen. Secondly, you're in denial. And then you go into a series of just being angry and depressed. Mm-hmm. And here it is, the depression part coming back in. So a lot of times we are walking around with symptoms we're not aware of, but other people see that there's something going on with you. And until you go in and see somebody, then you get a name for it. Mm-hmm. All you know is that I'm anxious all the time. I'm stressed out all the time. Food is my comfort. You know, I'm eating a lot. I've gained a lot of weight. My blood pressure's changed. You know, I'm just anxious just all the time. I'm hypervigilant. You know, going into some of the anxiety, stress also can flow into post-traumatic stress disorder, which is an average diagnosis people of color and other folks suffer through as well.
You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland 90.7. We are here having a very rich conversation with Javelin Hardy, mental therapist and author of The Little Girl Inside of Me. And this is going somewhere really, really important, because again, I think that we underestimate the importance of paying attention to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as a self-care mm-hmm. advocate, that's one of the things I talk about all the time and advocate for all the time, how important how we feel, how important how we think about ourselves and mm-hmm. how we feel is critical to everything. And I had someone that I was talking to this the other day as I was preparing for the show, and they just received great news that they were offered a fantastic job, mm-hmm. yet that brought them a lot of anxiety and stress.
Mm.
And so I'm trying to like crack the door open about how everyday occurrences that someone else may find, you know, you think mm-hmm. a reason to celebrate that mm-hmm. brings mm-hmm. grief
right.
to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So in your experience, are you seeing anything around like daily things that may not necessarily be something hard or horrible be triggering people? And do you think it's because there's so much else going on that this could be something that could be causing and the opposite reaction?
Well, I just was thinking about, you know, my last two jobs and my current job now, you know, especially if you like the only person of color in your job, or at your job, you do feel as if you have to perform different, mm-hmm. or either you have to be on your A game, mm-hmm. you know. But not only that, you know, how you take care of yourself at work is just so, I cannot stress how important it is to, for me, exercising 2 to 3 times a week, getting up from my desk at break, actually going to take a walk and leaving my desk, and what I eat. But the thing is, though, you know, being in Portland, you know, you have anxiety. Just living here in general, you know, the city has grown. It's very different. The atmosphere has changed. Unfortunately, things that you see on TV, I don't watch TV like I used to, and I have to tell some of my patients, don't watch the news. You know, the news can give you anxiety. The news can cause you to be depressed. Just things that are going on in our world today is depressing enough, you know, laughing and being serious about it at the same time. But can things be self-induced? Am I indulging too much on social media? Am I reading too many things that is causing me to be hypervigilant? Am I looking at too many shooting videos, unfortunately, or people like me that's been killed? Does that cause me to have vicarious trauma? Yes, it does. Does it feel as if you're having anxiety and depression by living out or seeing people that look like you and they're going through different things? Yes, that does affect you. It affects you every day.
And you know, I have to just highlight what you just said. I have more friends and people in my life that have said they had to stop watching the news.
Yes.
They didn't have a choice.
Yes.
I literally had a friend tell me that they would find themselves just standing up sweating mm-hmm. when the news would come on. But it took them, you know, a while to stop watching it. And I really want to ask you, what would you recommend? I mean, sometimes it's not as easy as turning it off because it can be an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to someone?
Well, just like you're trying to counsel somebody that has a gambling problem, mm-hmm. you know your budget, set a time and stop. You know, with television, you know, do you need to watch it? You know, what should you watch? What should you monitor? How long should you watch it? And just looking to see how has this affected you after you watched it too. Just paying attention to your body and your symptoms. When you watch the news, after you watch the news, do you get anxiety? Do you get stressed? Do you get depressed? Are you angry? Because that's an environmental factor as well. You know, watching political things that affect you. Yes, what we watch and what we're around, what we listen to, it affects you.
You know, we need to go to break.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want to give this number now so callers can write it down and be ready. 231-8187. You are listening to KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland. We are speaking with Javelin Hardy about stress and anxiety. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss this final piece.
You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm your host, Della Ray, and the piece I just played for you, Cilieto Lindo by Kate Power and Steve Enhorn. So thank you again, local talent, for getting your CD in. We are looking out for callers, 231-8187.
We're speaking with Javelin Hardy, mental therapist. And before we left for break, I feel like we were really touching on something. And we, you know, we were talking about anxiety, stress, and depression, yeah. But you said that other word,
yeah,
anger.
Anger, yeah.
And so what about, you know, temper and anger? I mean, how do you gauge that? I mean, what's unhealthy?
Social media. You know, you got all these. You got, I know one day I was running a group and I had asked a couple of my patients, name all the things that you got on your phone. And I think we got to a list of almost like 40, 50 different things. So if you got Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, they named some stuff that I wasn't even aware of. And we were also talking about all the things that they have to check throughout the day. Email, text messages, voicemail, work, personal emails. And we were talking about as far as their patience had started to run thin. You know, why am I so upset? Why am I angry? And just think about all the videos that get played over and over when you watch different things on Facebook. I had to get to a point where I'd have different times I weed myself off of there. Because if you watch so many different videos of somebody getting beat to death or shot, that stuff affects you. And then all of a sudden, anger, stress, anxiety, depression.
All right. We have a caller. Mm-hmm. Alan, welcome to Bread and Roses.
Thank you.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I wanted to comment a little bit for a second on depression and anxiety.
Okay.
And let me turn off the radio here. Am I on now?
Yes, we can hear you just fine, Alan.
I think that people are forced to lose their awareness that we're spiritual creations in a miracle. And I think all the politics and everything, all the news and all the suffering it causes, but it's basically trying to get us to forget that we're spiritual creatures. And I get mad at the politics, and I get really upset by the cruelty and the war and all the propaganda and everything. They fail to mention that we're spiritual creations in a wonderland. And everyone, it seems like that's all I wanted to say, that the media is almost designed to prevent us from realizing our spiritual selves.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. Thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Speak to that.
Well, I was wondering where you were going. And then that last statement, I'm like, oh, yes. You know, it is a delure. It is a distraction. It is a distraction for you to stay mentally sane, you know, and sound minded, because basically those different type of distractions from the government, social media and everything, yes, it will keep you from being able to stay focused and stay grounded with yourself. I always say, you know, when I'm teaching and doing counseling, that you have to take care of yourself, your mind, body, and your spirit. And those things like that, those are distractions, and those are the main causes of anxiety, stress, and depression. So I agree with him, though, about that spiritual component.
For real. So let me just ask a really practical question.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever you're able to give back here, I think is great. So how would you really suggest someone maybe, like, writing down how much of TV and social media they're getting? And, how can you monitor it? Because it's everywhere. And as a, you know, I pay a lot of attention to marketing. And they're saying, and I just, I mean, this number has, like, tripled in no time. It used to be somebody would have to see something 3 or 4 times to even notice it.
Right.
Now they're saying, I want to say, and don't quote me on this, and please don't anybody call, because this is not, I'm probably as accurate as it could be, but it's somewhere around 20 times people need to see something to absolutely recognize the brand, the message, mm-hmm. or even notice it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I say it depends on what the content is. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it's unfortunately a video of somebody getting arrested or beat to death, you know, that one time for me, mm-hmm. you know, is enough. But the thing is that let's say that one video has run around about 5, 6, 7 times. And you notice probably after that seventh time that you just kind of just checked out. I'm serious. Yeah. Checked out as far as like either you have went numb or you are so angry and upset that you are ready to fight. Now, that's when you know you have been affected by something. When your emotion has changed instantly or you yourself, you know, feel rage all the time. You have been affected by what you're watching. And, you know, I know it's not simple. I'm not saying that you just can't cut things off or tune yourself off in the world. But you do need to pay attention of how things affect you, you know.
Do you have anything concrete? So, yes, you can pay attention, but is there something, another step, small?
Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Yes.
Notice how you're feeling and turn it off.
Yeah. Or either, no. If you notice that one time, why are you keep watching it? If all of us, let's say with you, all of a sudden you've never had anxiety mm-hmm. and you watched a news clip and now your trust level has changed and your sense of safety has changed. Those are two huge factors for you. So if you haven't noticed that when you watch a certain thing that all of a sudden you don't feel safe anymore or you feel as if this may happen to you, now all of a sudden you're paranoid mm-hmm. and you weren't paranoid before, mm-hmm. you want to pay attention to those things. Yeah, yeah, but I think everybody needs to allow their time to cut things off a couple of times a month. I'm for real. And sit still, stop ripping and running, always have to go somewhere. Those are things that cause a lot of anxiety. Just going. We don't rest.
And do you believe anxiety feeds depression or depression feeds anxiety?
Oh, yeah.
It's a vicious
hand in hand. Hand in hand.
And then anger can get into that wheel as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. Because if I have a lot of anxiety, keep in mind that also takes a lot of my energy away too. So as far as just being motivated and just have, you know, just think about with depression, you know, you don't want to get up. You don't want to get out the bed. You want to sleep all the time, or either you're eating. You're not taking care of what we call your ADLs, activity, daily living, dressing, bathing, eating. If you are eating, you're not eating the right things. You're craving a lot of crap, you know, junk food, carbs, stuff that's bad for you. But not only that, you isolate. And that isolation is like, I'm not leaving the house. You're not being around people. You're not socializing. And then you go from, instead of socializing with real people, you go to the internet. And you go to Facebook. Or you're reading different websites. And then none of that's healthy for you, too, when you're in that mindset.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you're saying right now is so important, especially this time of year. I mean, I know a lot of times people, you know, think it's holiday season, it's mm-hmm. a time for cheer, but it's a really hard time for people. This isn't my favorite time of year.
It's just hard isn't. For people.
It hasn't been since I was a young girl.
Yeah.
And so as an adult, you know, really noticing that this is not my favorite time of the year. And so I just always say, oh, here comes my not favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
And I really have to think about that and get really present with this time of the year. And it's a practice.
Yeah.
And so tell the listeners, and I just want to give a little bit more because we've talked about the depression and the mm-hmm. anger and mm-hmm. what that can look like and what that can do to us. Let's talk a little bit more about holistic approach.
Okay.
I thought it was great how we touched on earlier about how it's important to talk, you know, mm-hmm. find that person you can talk to.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to just do a nice mix. You know, this time goes by so fast, doesn't it? So I want to do, you know, just try to round this out with talking about, you know, finding people to trust, thinking about your triggers. And it's a lot, mm-hmm. but just simple ways mm-hmm. and not to oversimplify or take the meaning out of how important this is and how stressful and hard and challenging this can
Correct.
Be, but just different ideas and things about, you know, what, and I want to go with this, what are a couple questions, not that you can ask a therapist or someone, or how you can bring up the questions or how you're feeling, and not necessarily around the consent and who can see your records, but just some of the questions you can start to ask if you're feeling like some of these stress, anger, or depression are out of control,
mm-hmm.
or even start, you're just noticing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just going into just the simple question of just telling me, you know, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, what's brought you here? Or either if I was to talk to you more so about anxiety, I'm also going to ask you, what are you feeling in your body?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you feel it? You know, what's causing you to feel that you have an elephant on your chest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that also described with people with depression, just this heaviness, just this darkness, you know, being able to just say that, you know, out loud to somebody, that's huge. Or either when anxiety, especially if you have panic attacks, that I can't even leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to just say that to somebody and have somebody understand that is a key factor of just being able to be open and say what's truly going on with you. So, you know, just taking that time to, I've encouraged folks, you know, after they get ready to leave doing Care With Me, where I work at, when you start looking for a therapist, just don't read, you know, their credentials, read their bio, but not only that, read their specialty. You know, what type of therapy models do they use? Do they cognitive therapy, dialectical behavior? I know with me, I'm huge on helping people find places to like do yoga,
mm-hmm.
or either some type of body movement, or finding a massage therapist. That's important, you know, if you trust somebody to touch you. And reflexology, looking into acupuncture, looking into essential oils and herbs, and different ways to just take care of yourself as well.
So I really want to, for our listening audience, just ask this question, and it's more around just, and I'm into simplifying that. What I think I hear you saying, mm-hmm. is, so you go to someone, you read, so you, mm-hmm. so let's say I'm feeling like anxiety,
yeah.
so then I read this mm-hmm. this potential therapist, and they specialize in anxiety.
Yeah.
So as a patient, as I can go in and talk mm-hmm. to them and see if it's a fit,
yeah,
right? I don't have to work with that person.
No, because the main thing you want to do is if you click with somebody, because that's the main thing of therapy, mm-hmm. is that you and I have developed a type of relationship whereas to you feel as if you can tell me anything without any type of judgment and shame,
mm-hmm.
you know. And outstanding coping skills for anxiety is the, you know, four square breathing. And I love grounding exercises, you know, just being present with yourself and your body and mindfulness. Those are just outstanding things to teach people for depression and anxiety.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Will you please do us a favor and read The Rocking Chair out of your book?
All right.
This is A Girl Inside of Me for All Who Suffered Sexual Abuse and Trauma as Children, poems by Javelin Hardy.
The Rocking Chair. I used to bump my head rocking back and forth. They thought something was wrong with me. The doctor said I had a nervous condition, so my mother brought me a rocking chair. No one ever asked what was wrong with me. If they would have asked, I would have told on the ones who touched me. I've had a rocking chair ever since I was a little girl. The rocking chair was a safe place. Everyone thought I had a nervous condition, but I started rocking to calm myself after the abuse. When I woke up in the morning, everyone thought I was mean and grumpy, but they couldn't see the dreams that kept me up all night. See, my rocking chair was my safe place. No one touched me, no one hurt me. Now I'm 41 and I still have a rocking chair. I still like to rock. It soothes me and it calms me down. I pray in my rocking chair. I sing in my rocking chair. My rocking chair is my sanctuary. Now my son's rocking my rocking chair. He eats in the rocking chair. A lot of people rock in my rocking chair. And when they do, they talk to me and open up about things I wouldn't dare ask them. You see, my chair is my sanctuary, and it soothes and heals me. My chair gives me a peace of mind.
Thank you. That's just beautiful.
Thank you.
We need to wrap up. I want to make sure that we post with the show where we can actually find your book.
Okay.
Do you have a website you can
yes,
share with us
I
really
do.
Quickly?
Yes.
What
they
is
could,
it?
They can email me at hajavlin, J-A-V, as in victory, E-L-I-N, @gmail.com. And we can connect that way.
Okay.
Yeah. And also on Dancing Moon Press, they can read about the book on there as well.
Oh. It has been such a pleasure, so full with information to have you and to
Thank
connect
you so
with
much.
You, Javelin Hardy. It's there are no words, but will you come back?
I most definitely will.
All right. We look forward to it. All right. Our collective, Bread and Roses, brings you this show every Friday night at 6 p.m., and women have had this space on KBOO since 1978. That's 39 years. Our collective is open to new members. If you are a woman in body or spirit, we'll help train and support you to be in front of the mic or behind the scenes. If you're interested, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You can also find us on KBOO's website, KBOO FM Bread and Roses, or on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses Radio. I'm your host, Della Ray, and I send out my warmest thanks to you, the listener, for giving us the gift of your time, to our callers, to our engineer, Liam, and to our superstar, Kim, in training. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
All touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Moms Demand Action Northeast Portland Remembrance Vigil on December 10th at 4 p.m. at the Montevilla Community Center in Portland. December 11th marks 5 years since the Clackamas Town Center shootings, in which 2 people were killed and hundreds physically or psychologically affected. In the years since, 500,000 Americans have been killed or injured by guns. On December 10th, there will be a remembrance featuring a musical performance by a member of the Portland Cello Project, a reading of names of those killed by guns in Oregon in the past 25 years, and words of comfort and encouragement in the face of grief. Again, that's the Moms Demand Action Northeast Portland Remembrance Vigil on December 10th at 4 p.m. at the Montevilla Community Center, 8219 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know in Portland. The Beautiful Party is a video premiere hip-hop birthday event. There will also be performances, samples, and other surprises at this 21 and over event. Again, that's The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of